You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Chulin is Daf Yud Aleph. And we just completed our search for a Makor for the Din of Chazak. Today, the Gemara wants to know another very common assumption, which is Rov. Where do we get Rov from? Let's take a look at today's Gemara, which is on the second line of Amud Aleph. Minan mirta d'amar abanat zil batagu. How do we know that you're allowed to be soymech on a Rov? What kind of question is that? Said the Gemara. No one. What do you mean? It's a Beferish Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Acharei Rabbim Lahatot. When the Torah is discussing how to paskin a din, we have exactly the same issue where we have a difference of opinion. The opinion in the din, in the Beit Din, in the Sanhedrin, is going to be koveya what it is that we're supposed to do. Now, if we don't have a unanimous opinion, why don't we basically have a sofer? Is this set correct or is that set correct? Which group do we go according to? I'm going to fix it so that we're on. Ella, because the Torah tells me rely on a majority opinion, it's basically telling you to follow a majority. That would mean that in terms of any case that comes up, I should be able to follow the rov chances as if that's actually the fact. So why are you asking about a Beferish Pasuk? Answers the Gemara, that's all very nice, where we have a ruba de ita kaman. We're talking about over here something that is actually present in front of us. So in other words, let's say we have the famous case of 9 stores that are selling treif, 1 store that's selling kosher, vice versa. So the question is, do we go basar rov? Yes, that's the same as Sanhedrin. We have the entire Sanhedrin in front of us. We see these are saying kosher, these are saying treif, or whatever the case may be. But there's a completely different type of rov which has to do with statistical predictions, which is very different. How do we know we have a right to rely on that where there's nothing in particular in front of us that relates to that rov? That rov itself is dealing with a general issue. That general issue, we're saying, is the way we should look at this particular detail. Who's to say that this is the normal person that is going to be defined by the rov? What does that mean? Obviously, there are going to be some individuals that are not in the ones that are the rov. So you're determining who the average man is. How do you know you can take a rov to determine what it is I should expect? The classical case is the case of yibum done by a katan. Now, we have absolutely no idea whether this child is sterile or not, because we have no way of knowing whether he's going to reach puberty. And yet, we're saying that, nonetheless, it's considered to be an act of yibum. Obviously, it's been 9-year-old in order to be halakhically suited for what we would call intercourse. But why would we need to know whether he's sterile? Most people aren't sterile. What do you mean, most people aren't sterile? What does that have to do with him? Is he sterile or not? It's absolutely no connection to most people. Now, that's a completely different issue. What gives you the right to be somef on that? We're over there. If, in fact, both of the participants in the Yibum were pre-pubescent, that nonetheless, the halacha is that they should just stick it out together. Even though they weren't perhaps yotzei the mitzvah now, but we have no chashash that either he or she is going to turn out to be sterile and therefore not part of the mitzvah of Yibum. Normally, we're not going to allow children to sleep with each other in an incestuous fashion. And these two are, in terms of the din of Erevah, if there is no mitzvah of Yibum, it's an incestuous relationship. So why do we put up with it? But if it's part of the Yibum, then why shouldn't we let them just live together until they grow up? But the question over here is, you need to rely on Rove in order to do that. That's the question. Omer Rav Elazar, I'll tell you, it's very simple. The Torah says bring a korban ola. Okay, I'm going to show you there's no way to ever bring a korban ola unless the Torah is assuming that you can rely on Rav. Because the ola has a head, usually. And that head cannot be opened in order to check the cranial membrane. Because you're not allowed to cut up the various detachim of the ola into further pieces. That we learn from the pasuk. Diomar krav nitach ota linitachea. Ota linitachea v'lo nitachea linitachim. That means that any one of the primary pieces of the ola, and the Mishnah lists what those primary pieces are, cannot be further cut up in order, whatever. In this case, how in the world are you ever going to know whether the cranial membrane was whole? Only by cutting it open.
To check.
But if you're not allowed to check, cut it open, then it makes no sense unless the Torah is saying, don't worry about what's the chance that a cranial membrane will have a hole in it. What do you mean? What's the chance? If there's a chance, then it's a suffix. Therefore, must be the Torah doesn't take issues taking chances. That ruba, the leta kaman, defines the givens. So you see that you rely on a ruba to leta kaman. No, this is not Cheshin and Lemiut. This is something beyond, this is determining. First of all, it's not Rabbi Meir. I mean, we'll get to the Gemara ultimately. We'll ask, what about only for the rememberers, Cheshin and Lemiut? But Lemais, what we're talking about over here is to define the givens. Remember that there's one thing in dealing with a suffix, and that was the case of the Ruba, the Itekaman. A question has been raised to Sanhedrin. The suffix now exists. Somebody has found a piece of meat and has no idea what it is. He's found a piece of meat in the city. The suffix has been raised. That's not what the Gemara is asking. The Gemara is asking, what about the fact that we take for granted that we don't even raise the suffix? Where does that come from? Where do we get this idea of assuming that a situation is something? We have absolutely no grounds for that assumption other than statistics. You're going to assume that this child is going to end up reaching puberty. Why? Because 99.99% of children will. So where do you know that there's a basis for relying on that as an assumption?
Fact.
Yeah, that's fact. That's basically what we're doing. Says the Gemara, what makes you say that? Maybe what you do is you ply it apart, you ply the skull apart, polylay, and buttocklay. And there you check the cranial membrane. You don't cut it into two parts. So you don't need to cut it into two parts. If you don't cut it into two parts, so then you're not going to be over on otal and tachia. V'im yishum otal and tachia. V'lo netachel and tachim. Is that your problem? That would be only where you actually cut it into two parts. But if you don't cut the skull into two parts, it's still connected. It's just folded. You've got to fold back all you need to be able to look at the membrane beneath the skull. So then you wouldn't be over an hotel in Tachia. So Echad Alayev Letlan Ba, so that's not such a good ride. In other words, you can't absolutely prove to me that the Torah doesn't expect you to literally check the entire Ola. Okay, Marbreg Ravina says, let's give this a try. Atya Mishvirat Etzem de Pesach. You're not allowed to break a bone in a Korban Pesach. Now, if you're not allowed to break a bone in a Korban Pesach, there's no longer any way to cut through the skull. That's a bone. So now, exactly. So now you're not going to be able to check the Korban Pesach. So there, Domra Rachmana, Etzem Lotish Berubo. So then how are you going to check the cranial membrane again? Shema Necha, Shema Nikif Krum Shomach. Elalam Yishum Yarmina Zil Bata Ruba. And we don't do such things. We don't need to do such things. Now. Let's not jump to conclusions. Who's to say that you don't use a laser? A laser is not considered to be shviras etzem, and if you have a hard time getting a laser, you could always use a hot coal and just burn sufficiently enough away until you get up to the membrane. No. Burning, not cracking. Burning. So you use a laser, use heat. So dilma de manakum ratale, vekolile obotikle. Maybe you burn through the skull and check it. Detanya amechatech begidim. Cutting through tendons and asoreif ba'atzamot, or even burning through bone, is not an iser shvirat etzem. So there is a possibility. Now, obviously, it's not that we really believe that we do this, but if you're trying to prove to me that, look, it's obvious that the Torah allows us to assume things. Maybe it doesn't allow us to assume things. Maybe we're assuming that we can assume things. Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Atami Alya. Okay, there's a simple solution. The Torah says when you're bringing a keves, so you're supposed to bring chelbo ha'aliyat mima. You're supposed to use the entire fat tail. And it says to mima, whole, not in pieces. Now the question is, the fat tail includes the lower vertebrae, which of course is part of the spinal cord. And therefore, lech Hashem nifsek chut ha'shidra. How will you ever be able to check without slicing it? How will you be able to check to see that the spinal cord is whole? Ella mishum de'amin zil batar ruba. Must be the Torah allows you to assume. Why wouldn't it be whole? V'chi temen mitatoi posek lei. Maybe you'll say, well, the part where we cut the fat tail is after the area in which the nerves, we're going to learn about the zilchus trephus, there are three sets of nerve separations that define the end, the halachic end of the spinal cord. And a tail, of course, is always past that. So maybe even the fat tail is cut past the area where we need to worry about the trephus of cut spinal cords. No, not true. Because lu'umata etza, Omar Achmona. Why do you think the Torah uses the word up against? What does an etza mean? An etza means it's the metaphorical kidney thought from deep inside of your guts. My guts tell me. That's a kidney issue. So that's makom shaklayot yo'atzot. And after all, if you take a look, and again, metaphorically, the most beautiful expression of etza is needing to distinguish between the good etza and the bad etza. That's the point. What do I take and what do I get rid of? That's exactly what kidneys do on a physical level. So we use the kidney as the filtering of the nature of etza, and therefore we call it yo'atzot, or etza. But that means that you're cutting the fat tail up against the place on the spine where beneath it there are kidneys. Well, that's way up. Way up, but certainly way up into the nerve area, and therefore you would, if you there would be a problem in the chut ha'shidra up at that point, then definitely it would be a trefa. So how are you going to check it? It's supposed to be al yad bima. No, that's not such a good raya. I mean, bima dema de potachla. You open it. What do you mean? You do a check on it robotically. Ah, you said bima. Bima is only a pagam where you cut it through. As we said before, if something is still attached, that's not called a pagam in tmimut for this issue either. Let lampa. That wouldn't bother us. You can't bring it right from there either. Rav Sheshet Bereid Ravidi says, okay, I got an idea. There's an egel arufa. Now, the Torah says, ha arufa. What does it say? Ha arufa. The, meaning the way in which it was. Kishi shleima tahavet. Which means, don't cut it up into pieces. If you don't cut it up into pieces, remember the Egla Rufa was killed by hitting in the back of the neck with a knife. That's the Arufa. And that's done in order to be mechaper for an unsolved murder. So that we have to worry, maybe it's a trefa. Must be, because it's Hilbat Aruba. Now, you'll say, and who cares if it is a trefa? Where does the Torah say that an Egla Rufa can't be a trefa? Why is that a riot anything? V'chitei m'may nafkamina. Who says that an egla rufa trefa is possible? Armi de verabianai kaparaktiv ba kikodashim. Since it says the lashon of kaparaba, the egla rufa, kaper lamcha Yisrael, then obviously it has the same din as kachim. Kachim are possible. If they're trefa, so too with the egla rufa. How then could I ever bring an egla rufa? Based on assumptions. Ah, but assumptions are what Rove is all about. Meaning, Aruba, the letter, come on, is all about. I'm a Devei Rabbiana. Okay, sorry. Rabba Barav Shiloma, Atyami Pora Aduma. We have the same type of raya from the Pora Aduma, where the Torah says, Vishachat Visaraf. The juxtaposition of those words teaches us that just like the Shechita needs to be Shleima, Srefata also is b'sha'ah shishlema. In other words, we do not cut the paraduma up into smaller pieces. If that's the case, we have the same problem. Leichesh deal with treifahi. How do we know that it's not a treifa if we can't do an autopsy? Elala b'shum de'amrin and zil bata ruba. V'chi teiman, you'll ask here too, why would I worry? I mean, it's not a korban. It's not even really a kachim mizbeach. It's only kachim b'er kabayit. Nobody's going to eat it. So maybe there's no problem if it's being a treifa. My nafkamina. Ah, that's because chatat karya rachmana. The Torah says, l'meini da chatati, to tell us that a poraduma is to be treated as a chatat. Just like a chatat is psula, as a treifa, so too is the poraduma psula as a treifa. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, I have a great idea. We can learn that from the Sarah Mishtaleach. Rachmana amar v'lakach et shnei ha-se'irim. You have to start off with two se'irim, either of which could have been destined to be the Sarah Nasa Bifnim. That's the whole point. The whole point is that there is nothing that it indicates in the animal itself what it's meant to be. It's all a matter of chance. And therefore you're supposed to do a lottery. So if that's the case, Yushneim Shavim, how could they ever be Shneim Shavim if you'll never be able to establish the Ubachadminay or Trefa? Maybe the Azazel is a Trefa. I mean, the one that's brought Lashem, you could tell me maybe we do an autopsy. But how will you ever know whether the one that was sent Lazazel is a Trefa or not? Must be Mishundarmina Zil Bataruba. V'chitema, my nafkalamino, what do I care, since in the end it was the one chosen, Lazazel. No, that's the whole point. Ein agoral koveya Lazazel, abadabara roi l'shem. It can't be a kosher korban Lazazel unless it could have been the one that was going to be brought l'shem. So what are you going to tell me? Maybe we do an autopsy. V'chitema, the batkinan light, you cannot do an autopsy. Because v'atnan, lo yaya magia l'makzitahar, that this was such a vicious throwing off the Azazel is that it was torn to bits by the time it got down the mountain. So how are you? I know it's in your neighborhood. So therefore, there's no way to do the bedika. Rav Mori Amar, Atimimaka Aviv Imo. The way to learn is from the fact that the Torah says if somebody hits his father, you kill him. Now, how the heck do you ever know that it's his father? Why should you assume it's his father? V'lechesh dilma lavavivu. I mean, all it is an assumption that everybody thinks that this is the guy's father, so therefore it's his father. It could be anybody is his father. So we're never able, should never be able, to kill someone. What right do we have to make such an assumption? Ela lav mishum darmina zil bataruba. It's once again only a function of rove. Since even if his mother has been playing around with other men, most of the intercourse that she would have had is undoubtedly with her husband. I mean, she couldn't have most of her fun with other people. So then rove bi'ilot achar habal. And if that's the case, you're relying on that rove. Otherwise, it makes absolutely no sense. Why? Maybe in Achinami, we will never kill for Maka Aviv Imo unless it's talking about a case where father and mother have been kept in a jail cell alone for the past 9 months, and there's no way that anyone else could have impregnated her, and therefore, we know for a fact that this is the son, but otherwise, in Achinami, we wouldn't. Really? And who protected them in jail?
The jailkeeper.
So somewhere or another, there's got to be somebody around. Therefore, afilochi ain't apotropos la'arayot. There's no way that we're going to make somebody the appointee for seeing to it that there's no hanky panky, because there's always him who will need somebody else to make sure he's not Mr. Hanky Panky and ad infinitum. Therefore, by definition, there's no way to ever really know. Because the only way that most sons are sons of their father in a way that would have anything to do with him is by the nature of reproduction. Yeah. I mean, we would. What's that?
Sex favor.
What's
suffic, whether or not she slept around and suffocated.
No, that's one. That's one suffic.
And we sent them off in a capsule, a spaceship.
Yeah, but we don't believe that that's the case in the pasuk. Rav Kahana Amar, Atya Mihoreg Et HaNefesh. Rav Kahana says, look, it's very simple. The Torah says kill a murderer. How can we ever kill a murderer if we don't know that he killed someone who wasn't a traitor? So you're going to say, so over there the Torah says Katle, V'leishish Duma Trefa Avi, and the thing is, if you kill a traitor, you're Potter. Elah Misham Darmin and Zilba Taruba. Now, maybe you'll say, I mean, why? Maybe we really do have to do an autopsy. And unless we can prove by autopsy that this person was not a traitor, we will not kill the murderer. But maybe you'll say we do an autopsy. That would be a nivul. So you'll say, so what? Maybe bishum ibad neshama dahai ninvale. Let's actually not worry about doing an autopsy, because at least this way we could save this guy's life, the murderer's life, for the Torah is mitzava us to be v'itzilu ha'ida, to do your best to avoid a death penalty. Well, you'd never be able to prove anything by autopsy. Because if that were the case, let's say we autopsy him and find that there's no problem. No problem. How did he die? Well, he shot him to the lungs. Exactly. That's a problem. But what do you mean he did that? How do you know? Maybe there was a hole right there where the bullet went. How are you going to be able to ever prove? Tarsus says, I mean, what about drowning? What about? I mean, he talks about various cases where it's certainly theoretically we should be able to get to a case where, okay, we'll worry about that later. But right now, yeah, exactly. But right now it appears that we're allowing an assumption that this guy wasn't a traitor. Why? Because most people aren't traitors. You're happy with this? No, but you're not thinking. Read this Gemara again. You tell me how this makes sense. What's the matter with you? Let's take it step by step. Must be, we say, Zil Bataruba, because maybe he's a traitor. So, maybe we're Bodek. No, we can't be Bodek, because then you would be Menavolim. Okay. But maybe we should be Menavolim, because at least this way we could save the murderer's life. What do you mean we could save the murderer's life? We just said that we're obviously going to kill the murderer anyway. You're asking Akasha about the issue of whether we could bring Araya to Rov, right? So now you're saying we shouldn't be menavolim, and must be the Torah is telling us we could anyway kill him because we're semich on the rov. So then you'll ask, but maybe we should do an autopsy, because otherwise, why should we take a chance on this man's losing his life? But we just said that we're going to kill him anyway. So on the contrary, the only reason we do the autopsy is you're saying maybe we shouldn't go baser rov, and we should do an autopsy, and that way be able to kill the guy. That's a strange way to save his life.
It's a contradiction.
Yes, it's a contradiction. You just switched in mid-sentence. And this can't be a separate question. Gee, so wouldn't it be a good idea, if that's the case, to bedavka try, since the Torah wants us to save his life, to try to find out if the guy is a traitor? So then what's the answer? Maybe there's a bullet hole, but maybe there's, besides the bullet hole, a lot of other traitors. Maybe the guy's got cancer. So then you haven't answered the question. Right? Indeed. So then, Nechush B'Shema is B'mokam Sayef Nekev Aved. So the Gemara is going back and forth over here in ways that are completely irrational. Okay, so the only way that I know of to understand the Gemara is like this. Lemaisa, if we could save this guy by finding out that he's a traitor, we should, shouldn't we? So why don't we do that? So something is strange about a halakha that says, let's just be sonnet on the rove, Because we could certainly not be Simon Honorov if we want to, since the Torah specifically tells us, try your best, and don't be Simon Honorov. So anyway, there's another issue involved over here. That's what I'm looking for. What is that other issue? That other issue must be because you'll never be able to really 100% be Machayev him if we needed an indication that the guy was not a treifa, because we'll never prove that he's not a treifa. Which means that no matter how you look at it, definitely the Torah is telling you, I want you to kill this guy, despite the fact that you cannot prove that the victim was not a treifa. Now that means that the Torah is therefore giving you the grounds to say that the approach to saving this guy is not through tearing the other person apart and seeing to it whether, because if it were, then it would be impossible to ever kill him, you see. So once the Torah tells you that, look, you're going to have to be Samech on Rov in order to kill the Retzeach, it's automatically telling you that this is not the approach to saving the Retzeach's life either, because otherwise we would have set it up to try to save him. Okay, so in other words, what we said before is Ninavle, that was where we had the Svara to say that Mishum V'Yitzilo Ha'eda, we should do our best and not be Samech on the Rov. But that, the Torah told us, is impossible, because then you'll never be able to kill him. Once it's told us it's impossible, we will not be Menavolim in order to achieve the cases where it is possible to save him. That's what you have to say. I mean, this Svara is actually used by Ramesha in one of his tshuvas about questions of Nivul Hamet. Because it's clear that that's what Gemara must be saying. It's amazing that it took that long to get around to realizing what the implications of the Gemara are here. But there's lechora no other way to read it. And there have been tortured attempts to explain this Gemara. But also, and among the Achronim, it's amazing, Avvan Simul Rishon, even raising the problem. It's like... Yeah.
Avoiding...
No, issues of when you have a right to be menavo. Yeah, I mean, it's clear from here that we're not going to be menavo. We don't, Lamaisa. Since we can't anyway find a basis for when we would be machayim. Ravina says, I got a great one. Torah says, there's a bit of Edim Zomamim, right? Vasitam lo kasher zomam. So here's the case. Guy walks in and says, this Jim killed George. Then what happens? Find out that the two Aiden that claimed Jim killed George weren't even around on the day that they claimed to have seen Jim kill George. So we kill them. But is Jim a treifa? Jim, unfortunately, must be alive, because if Jim was already killed, we wouldn't kill the Aiden Zomim. Jim being alive makes it rather difficult to perform an autopsy on him. Therefore, if the Torah says we're supposed to be able to kill the Aiden Zomim, who were made that Jim killed George, it must be that we rely on the Rove that Jim is not a treifa. Huh?
They send him to the doctor?
Won't help. The doctor can't know. Unless he's got an MRI.
So doctor said that it was supposed to be a little bit rover.
But if we had an indication that he is a treifa, so we wouldn't kill him.
Maybe not. It depends whether the Rove would still apply to that case. Most people with this symptoms are not Dreyfus, so we still have to deal with that. There you get into the question of Rabbi Meir Hashil Amiyuta. We'll get to that. Now, gentlemen, you're missing something. You're missing an immediate question that you should jump at. This is a chess game. Come on, don't let it go by. What did we need to get to the case of the Edom Zomim? If, in fact, the murderer was a treifa, then the Edut on the murderer would not be a kosher Edut. Because even if the Edim had killed a treifa, they would be potter. Therefore, by being made that the murderer should be killed, they're never going to be chayiv as Edim Zomimim. But any Edim that can't be chayiv as Edim Zomimim do not have a din of Edut at all. Therefore, unless we know that the murderer himself was not a treifa, we could never kill him anyway. Forget about the victim. So you don't have to come on to the case of Adam Zomanin. You only need to come on to the question of how could we ever kill a murderer? Maybe the murderer himself is a treifa, and being as he is currently alive, we can't perform an autopsy on him, and therefore we don't have any testimony against him, so we're killing him without testimony.
Yeah, but the question of him being a treifa, isn't that just because he's going to die anyway? And so
doesn't matter. The bottom line is, if he were a treifa, we wouldn't be able to kill him. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. So then having those
out of the killing wouldn't be an issue.
But that's not the point. It becomes an issue in terms of the Adam Zomamim. Adam Zomamim will only be chayev if the victim...
No, he doesn't want to come on to a case of Adam Zomamim. That's sort of his question.
No. So every Adus needs to have the potential of being an Adam Zomamim. Otherwise, he's not an aid.
Yes.
So you don't need to actually get to the case of Adam Zomamim to have asked this question, because the Rotzeach needs to be proven not to be. Just like the putative Rotzeach, in this case, Jim. Why go to the punitive Rotzeach? Let's talk about the Rotzeach, the real Rotzeach. You don't know that he's a treifa. This one is discussed by the Rishon. We talk about the Nirtzach, but we could do an autopsy on the Nirtzach, but how are you going to do an autopsy on a living person? We just talked about the Nirtzach. That's the Nenavle. Anyway, maybe you'll say we do an autopsy on him. No, he's alive. Because Vatanya Barebi Omer, Lo Hargu Neharagin, Hargu In Neharagin. What do you think this is, an Israeli hospital? If Lamaisa, the guy is still living, you don't do an autopsy on him. And since by definition he needs to be still living, because otherwise there would be no way to be Machayev the Adam Zomamim, obviously the Torah is telling you to rely on the roof. Ah! So, it's a world of assumptions. Oh, says Rav Ashi, I got the best raya. Shchita. How can we ever do shchita? Mishchita atzma. The Omer HaKadosh shchot ve'echo. Shech something and eat it. Now, wait, shech something and eat it. How do I know that I didn't cut right through a hole that was already there? So even if I do an autopsy and I tear the animal to pieces, and I discover there's not a single problem. What do you mean there's not? There's a big hole right there in its neck. No, I cut that. Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you cut something that was already cut. So you're making assumptions. If you're making assumptions, it must be that the Torah relies on Rove. That's great. Omer Rav Ashi, you know, I said this whole story over of Rias to Rove, Kameder of Kahana. Some say Rav Kahana said it over to Rav Shimi. And the response over here is that there may be, whoever said it, whether it was Rav Ashi or Rav Kahana, said that Lamaisa, there's a serious problem that undermines any and all of these kind of riots. And that is, you're only proving to me that we rely on a rove where there is no alternative. In other words, it may well be that the Torah says that you need to be able to live halakhically according to assumptions when there's no alternative but to do so. But wherever it is possible to find out about something, perhaps you absolutely must find out. Now, that's not what you were asking. I mean, so when it comes to the question of katan viktana, let's say, who's to say that? You say, well, most kids will reach puberty. What does that have to do with anything? Why should you allow these children to continue to live together in one chance out of a billion that it's a sin? But, you know, you can avoid it, so avoid it. And then, in all of these cases, okay, you gotta eat, you know, so you rely on your shkita. But in anything else, you don't rely. And I'll prove it to you. Because the Elote Malchi, if you don't accept the fact that there are differences in levels of assumption, then how do you explain Rabbi Meir, who is Chayesh Lemiyuta? If Chayesh Lemiyuta means, according to you, that even without any doubts and without any questions, you never know, and you can't make any assumptions, then that would mean, of course, that Rabbi Meir would not be able to eat meat. Because, after all, how do you ever know that you didn't cut with your knife at the time of the Shechita straight through a hole that would have made this animal a treifa? You'll never know. So you're trying to tell me he doesn't eat meat? Maybe yes. Okay, so how would Rebbe Meir bring a Korban Pesach, for God's sake? It's ridiculous. He says, okay, he doesn't eat meat. Does he eat Pesach? Does he eat kosher? I mean, obviously, he believes that the Torah told us that there are ways in which to eat the Korban Pesach. No. So, Michael Amema, what are you going to say? So, how is it? I mean, how is he going to know? The most that Rebbe Meir would have been saying is obviously that Chayesh Lemiyuta might mean do your best to find out. That's all that it would mean. It's certainly not saying there's no such thing as an assumption. So to bring me a raya that where there's assumptions, by definition, that is a blanket reference to a concept of rov, and I need not trouble my little self to find out anything about the facts of the matter. Where do you get that from? Who's to say that that's true? It's clearly not true in the case of Rebbe Meir. Why should it be true in this case? Everyone is ready to buy into the fact that you can't live without making a certain level of assumptions beyond which you're unable to get answers. Our question was, wherever you can get an answer, how do you know that Rove provides an answer? Now, that's a different question. Now, you haven't proven that. So why not say Hachinami? So Mamela, you have absolutely no idea. So you can't bring me riots from any of these cases. Therefore, says Rashi, that the point over here is that it must be that the very idea of smichas on rov is based on the halacha l'majoris here of rov, even if it's possible to be samech, and it all comes from our understanding of acharei rabim lahatot, namely that the distinction between a rubid itikaman and a rubid letikaman is an artificial distinction. It is based on our assumption that there should be a difference in a case where something is a member of the set of a particular rove, or where the rove defines the way all things are. Who's to say that that's different? Why is the set of all things different than the set of meat found in this city? It may well be that statistically, rove is exactly the same. And therefore, when we are samech on halacha l'majoris Sinai, it's based on acharei rabim lahatot. And this entire discussion may well have been an assumption. And it's because of that, points out Rashi, that in reality we do not say eichad efsher, efsher, lo efsher, efsher, lo efsher. Did anybody suggest that we should tear every single animal that we shecht apart and check every one of the treifot? Never. It's only fairly recently that we even started checking the lungs because of the fact that it became so prevalent to find problems in lungs, but that's only because of the ecological breakdown that's been taking, but it's been getting worse and worse. So now it's very difficult in some places at all to find kosher animals, which is why they go to free-ranging animals in South America and so on. I remember 35 years ago, in California, we were unable to get any, remember, could not get any veal that was not treif. Every animal that we checked was treif because of the pollution in the Bay Area. So, whatever, so we make takanas that if it's a rova, that if it's something, it's a miut, where there's a miut that's very matsui, kosher can where there's a rova. But like this, as Rashi says, well, we don't do it. As time goes on, they try to do more and more bedikas, and as they started checking birds' intestines, and even checking birds' nearly invisible lungs, and so on. Fine. But that's certainly not the norm. Must be, therefore, that the whole thing may be a mistake, that there should be a difference between one and the other cases. Okay, let's do a review. Mina milta de omrabban izil bataruba. What do you mean, minolan? That's ridiculous. Achari rabim latot. What are the most fundamental psukim in the Torah? Not ruba de ita kaman. Kigon teshachan uyot or Sanhedrin. Obviously, lokami boilon. Kikami boilon ruba de lete kaman. Kigon katan uktana minolan. Omarabi alazar. Atyami resha shel ola. Yomakra. Vinitach otah vinatachea. That means only otah vinatachea. Not nitachea vinatachim. Now, if you're not allowed to cut, then dechashdil manikiv krum shel moach. Elalam ishabdam inan zil bataruba. Why? Who's to say maybe we do check? And we do check in a way that doesn't cause nitachea. Namely, dimna pavile yabodikle. Vimi shumotal nitachea velonitachel nitachim. That only comes into play, echadachotikle legamre. But what I'm doing is just liyef letlanba. Margaret Ravino Amar Atya Mishvirat Etze Bepesa. Dumarachmana Etze Lotish Barubo. Which means there's no way for us to break into bony areas. Nech shemanikev krum shamoach. El labishum de arminan zil bataruba. Why? Maybe we laser it. And dimma de marakum rata leva kolele obadikle. The Tanya mechatech begidim. We are soref batzamot. Ein babishum shvirat etzem. Remdach by Yitzchak Amar Atyami Alya. Dimrachon a chelbo ha alya timima. Lech Hashem and Ipsika chuta shidra. Ela mishum de amrinan zil bataruba. Vachi teme de mitatoi posiklo. No, it says befesh lu umata etza. Omarachmona. Makom shakilayot yoatzot mimai dema de patachla ubadikla vimishum tmima ani milay echad echad chalagamre aval echad alayev letlama Rav Sheshet b'rei de Ravidi omar atim egla arufa yomar achmona ha arufa kishihi shlema tahave lechish dema trefahi elamishum de armin etzil bat aruba. Now you'll say, well, an egla arufa is not a korban. So my nafkamin if it's a treifa. Ah, ha'amri devei rabbiyana kaparaktiva kekodashim. Rabba barav shilom amar atmi para aduma. Yom rakwana v'shachat v'sarav. Mashkit atakishi shleima, av treifa atakishi shleima. Laichish dilma treifa hi. El amishom rinrin zil bat aruba. V'chi teima. Look, it's not a carbon. You're not eating it. My nafkamina. Because chatat karya rachmona. Ravacha bar Yaakov Amar, Atumi Sagira Mishtaleach. Rachmana Amar Velakachet Shnei Hasi'irim. Shiyiyu Shneihem Shavim. Lechish Dilma Chad Minayu Trefahu. Elalam Yishum Dermin and Zil Bat Aruba. V'chi Tema, my Nafkalan Mina, if the Azazel turns out to be the problem. Ha'in Goral Koveel Azazel. Elabadavar Ha'ru'i L'Shem. V'chi Tema, but Kidam Le, Hatzon Lo Yemagil Ma'chitahar. Achina, Saivarim Evarim. Rav Mori Omar, Atya Mimake Aviv Iimo. The Omar Akhmana Katle, Lechish Dimalav Avivu. Elalam Mishum Dermin and Zil Bataruba, Verov Bi Ilot Achar Habaal. Mimak, Dimakagon Shai Aviv Iimo Chavushim, Bebet Asurim, Afilo Achi Ein Apotropos La Arayot. Rav Kano Omar, Atya Mioreget Anafesh. The Omar Akhmana Katle, Lechish Dimatreif Avi. Elam Yishum Nermina Zil Bat Aruba. V'chitem it about Kinale, Akaminva. V'chitem it Mishum Ibud Nishama Dahai Ninvale. V'nech Hashem Amokam Sayef Nekav Abi anyway. Ravino Amar Atyam Eidim Zomimim Diomar Achmona. V'asit Em Lokashe Zomam. Lechush Dilma Hakte Asira Beit Shreif Abi. Elam Yishum Nermina Zil Bat Aruba. V'chitem it about Kinale. V'atenya Barebi Omer. Only if lo argul tenin er nerogin. But if the guy would have been autopsyable, then argul ain't nerogin anyway. Ravashi amar atyam ishkitatzma, amar akman ishkot vechol. How ishkot vechol? Lech Hashem amokam nekev kashofi. El amar shim narmin, it's yobot aruba. Amar Ravashi, you know, said the whole thing over Rav Kahn or something. Rav Kahn said the whole thing over Rav Shimi and pointed out that it's really not much of a proof. Because dilma hechad efshar efshar. Look, if you're not going to say that, and you need to actually have information with a psak on every possibility, so then, according to Rabbi Meir, the Chayesh Lomiyuta, so what are you going to say? And V'chitem Ochanami, and what about Pesach, the Kochim? So what are you going to say over there? The Torah tells, eat, eat, eat. So obviously, Therefore, we don't have any raya. Unless we're ready to accept the fact that the din of Akrei Rabim Lahatot is a general smichus on rov, whether it's itakaman or letakaman. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy. Yesterday we raised the issue of where it is that we know the halacha of chazaka. Continuing with that theme, today the Gemara asks another question. On the second line of Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and the question today is: we know how Milsa Rabbanan Zil Basar Ruba. Yesterday we discussed chazaka. The question whether we had satisfactorily derived the din of chazaka from the halacha of negayim, because how else could it tell you like a psak? Okay, we saw that not everybody agreed with that. There was a way we could, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, a way we could learn it, that the kohen can manage to do it by getting information about the nature of the nega. So either it's a pasuk, or apparently it's based on the halacha that we were makabel. But minaha milsa demer avonis yobasar ruba today, the Gemara wants. How about a roof? And then the Gemara is amazed. How can anybody question how we know where there's a din of a roof? It's a deferish apostate. Minalim defsir acharei rabim lahatot. Follow always the roof in determining a halacha. Isn't that clear enough? Well, ruba de'ita kaman kegon tesha chamiyot v'sanhedrin lo kamiboyot. We're not asking how do we know that we can go bus a road where we have something that's in front of us, so that we have two well-defined groups. Achrei Rabim Latot was said essentially, we've got the Pesach Din and Sanhedrin. In Sanhedrin we have one set of Dayanim that are saying, let's say, Chayev, one set that's saying Pot. Question is, which set do we follow? Follow that set. We can extend that into, we have nine stores that are selling kosher meat and one store that's selling treva. Which set of stores should we follow in defining where a particular meat, piece of meat that was found, where is that meat from? That's the same basic idea. In other words, here the psak is yotze from between the two. Which one is the correct psak? We'll assume the one that is the rove. Which one is the meat that we're defining? We'll assume it's the rove. But the question is, how about a statistical rove? Kikomi boilan ruba de lete kaman, kigon katanu ktana. Now, the din of katanu ktana, that's the famous marker of the halacha legabe yibum, in which Rabbi Meir, there is mabia dato that we have to be chayish lemiyuta. So the question over there is, we know that a sterile individual is not chayev in yibum. So the question is, how about a yavam who is a child? Now normally we'll wait until the children grow up before we give a kind of yibum, but how about if lamaisa, a child ends up setting up shop with his child bride, his yavama, or even a gedela? Right? So now we have a 10-year-old who basically is married to his yavama. The question is she allowed to sleep with him? I mean, how do we know he won't turn out to be sterile? So the Shita of Rabbi Meir is that indeed you have to be worried that he might be sterile. But the Rabbanan Paskin, that it's perfectly okay for them to set up shop together because most males aren't sterile. In which case we can assume that their relationship is fine. Now, there, we don't have a well-defined group in which we say, here's the group of sterile males, here's the group of fertile males, and this came from one of the groups. Basically, what we're doing over here is we're making a statistical prediction
that a male that would be picked at random would be not sterile, because the norm is that a male isn't sterile. And that's a completely different idea. So how do we know that that type of robe is reliable? To predict what will be in the sense of nature, that's a completely different idea than saying we already know what is, we're just questioning where it's coming from.
All
right, so in other words, if we had in fact two well-defined groups over here, this was a group of sterile males and this was a group of fertile males, and we had a larger group of fertile males than sterile males, and we would take one child out of that group, then we could say, okay, fine, so let him sleep with his yavama because he's from the, we don't know which group he's from, but this is the robe, and that's a typical robe of Ruba the Ita Kaman. It's in front of us. But over here, where we have a statistical issue, picking a male at random in the world, and saying, okay, what do you think this guy is going to be, fertile or sterile? So there, what does it say in the Torah that we have a right to assume that the norms of nature are going to affect a particular thing? I mean, it has nothing to do, what this person is, has absolutely nothing to do with what the norm is. I mean, it's just the question that Lakar might see. You'll say, okay, it's reasonable that he would follow, it's just statistically reasonable, but that any particular individual in the midst of statistics, of course, is not a statistic. So it doesn't really matter what the statistics say, it matters what he is.
And any person in the midst of...
A statistical determination is not a statistic. Well, obviously. In other words, you tell a cancer patient, well, you know, 90% of people with this cancer die within 5 years. I say, fine, I'm going to make sure that I'm in the 10% that don't die. Now, what has to be done to change that statistic? What are the factors? That's right. The other person will say, oh, well, then it's all over. I mean, obviously, the statistics have nothing to do with him particularly. All right, so you're going to say, well, you know, 90% of males are fertile. So what does that have to do with him? He may be fertile, he may not be fertile. It has absolutely nothing to do with the number of statistics. So there's a question of whether such a robe is meaningful in the Torah and does not seem to be derivable from the din of Akrei Rabbim Lahatot. So there asks Gemara, how do we know the robe, Kigon Katan V'Kitana, why should we allow children that we don't know whether they're fertile or not to be sleeping with each other in a case where they may turn out to be usher on each other, really, because of a saris is not chayav and yibum, and we know that the erva is a given. This is his brother's wife. Amar Rav Elazar, l'chora we can learn it out from the fact that the Torah was mitzavah to bring a carbon ayla, and that carbon ayla generally has a head, and that head cannot be opened before it's brought on the mizbeach. Cut that animal up into its parts in order to put on the mizbeach. And as we recall, we darshan otali tachea, v'lovin nitachea l'nitachim. One cannot cut the individual parts of the carbon ayla into smaller parts. Now, since one of the parts mentioned in the Torah is the head, we will never know whether there may be actually a small hole in the cranial membrane, which is a trefa. So, how do we know that this animal is not trafed? So, apparently the Torah is saying, look, what you can do over here is assume, now obviously it's just a pure statistic, it's not that we have a well-defined group that we're saying this comes from the group of non-trafers, it's just a question of a statistical prediction, that if you take an animal, likelihood it does not have a hole through its cranial membrane. Okay. So I think, more, how do you know? Maybe what you have to do over there is you have to actually check the membrane, and the way you do this is not by cutting the skull into two, but by folding away the flaps of bone without cutting it all the way through. And then you can check. The only iser would be where it's completely cut away. If you leave a little piece that still allows you to fold back the bone, then less lampan, and maybe the Torah isn't makbid. That's not called cutting the chaticha all the way through. So that's not a raya. No. The other, okay, fine, that's not a raya. But how about a Korban Pesach? The Torah says you cannot break a bone of a Korban Pesach. If you can't break a bone, then for sure there's no way to check that membrane. So that's a notish brubo. Nefesh em nikev krum shomach was over there. You can't say it's not called broken because I leave a little membranous edge to the bone. You broke the bone. How else are you going to check? How else are you going to get into the skull? So why don't we have to be afraid that nikev krum shomach? The only thing you could say is the Torah says, look, you know, why worry about that chance? I mean, statistically, what are the chances that a particular animal is going to have such a hole? It's not a ray. Maybe what you do is you actually use a laser to cut away at the bone, get all the way down to the membrane. And that's not called breaking a bone, because it's only breaking is considered to be the iser. That actually, if you don't have a laser, you can always use a hot coal. So the Tanya hamechatech begidim v'asoreif ba'atzamot, you cut through one of the gidim, so you cut through a tendon. A tendon is not a bone. Or if you burn through a bone, ein bo mishum shviras etzem, that is not called breaking a bone. So there's always a way to check without breaking a bone. So that's also not a raya. How about the fact that the Torah says when you bring a korban from a keves, so there you bring the aliyah to mima. You have to keep the aliyah, the fat tail, whole. And the problem is that the fat tail includes the chut hashidra, it includes the spine and the spinal column. And if there's going to be a hole in that, you got a problem with tarfus over here. The leifa that says to me, man has to be kept whole. The leifa is dilma nitska chuta shidra. Why aren't we afraid that the spinal cord has got a hole in it? Now I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, v'chi tema. You're going to try to tell me to meet that toy posikla, that the fat tail should only be cut after the point in the body at which it no longer matters whether there's a hole in the chut hashidra, because the technicality of the spinal cord is only up until the beta parashot, which we'll see later on, is at the top, in which you have the major nerves that are coming out of the edge of the cord, going down into the feet, and then the tail can be cut off afterwards without creating tarfus. In which case, maybe that's what the Torah says. No, that's not a good objection, because the Torah says specifically, Lu'umata etzal marachmana. Note that it says, take the aliyah tmima from the point of the etzal. Now what is that? That's makom sha'klayot yo'atzot. It's a way in which we refer to the kidneys. Now if we're going to cut it off at the kidneys, then we're going to be getting a lot of chut hashidra with it. There's no way to avoid that. And therefore, how do we know that, since it's tmima, how do we know that we can that it wasn't broken in some fashion? And if you'll tell me, and says, what's to prevent us from opening it up? I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, because it's tamima. But maybe the meaning of tamima, doesn't say in the Torah you can't make an incision and open it up and look at it and then it'll flap back together again. You're not going to cut the whole thing. Maybe just cut it from the bottom, take a look and see. And there's no hakpada for the lief. If it's still held together as a flat, then less lumpa. Maybe that is called tamima. So that doesn't bring it. Actually, an interesting proof is the egla rufa. The Torah says, ha'arufa, what is it called? Ha'arufa, means that even after the arifa, it cannot be cut off. The way in which it was at the time that you did the arifa is the way it has to be left. And if that's the case, it could be a trefa from anything. Now you're going to say, okay, so it's a trefa. Who says that there's a problem with negel arufa? It's a trefa. Where does the Torah say negel arufa can't be a trefa? You're going to eat it. It's not a korban. So who cares if it's a trefa? Oh, for the amri de rabbianai. Since the Torah says, The lashon of kapara is the same word that's used for karbonos, in which case it means we're supposed to treat it with the same chumrah that we would treat karbonos. And a karbon, certainly we learned out mina beima yilot yeta treifa, so treifa is not kosher. So if the Torah allows us to bring an egel arufa and doesn't give us any way to check the egel arufa, then it must be that we rely on a ruva deleta kaman, on the statistical predictable usage of a rove.
Did
you see treifa
from the arufa? Because of the arufa, she's treifa in.
Gee, that's terrible. And we'd never be able to do the arufa on an egel arufa. Oh my gosh, we got a serious problem here.
If we say when we're treifa,
that's the shchita of an egel arufa. Is an egel arufa metamic in avela? The way the Torah says to be matzah an animal is a burden by samikash metamic b'malika. It's a treifa malika. Rabba Barab Shilama Atya Miporaduma. Place to learn it out is a paraduma. Yamrakmana Bishakat Visara. You have to shecht it and be surif it. Now, Marshitakishi Shilema. Now obviously you can't do the Shita after it's already cut up. Ah Srefatakishi Shlema. Valaikush Duma Trefahim. How do we know that the paraduma that we're sitting here shechting and burning, how do we know it's not a trefa? Ayotai, it must be because Zilbasaruba. A lot of me should name it. Zilbasaruba. Ayotai, but Kitema might not get me. Now, who cares if it's treifa? No. The Torah called the Torah Aduma a chatas. Since it refers to it as a chatas, obviously it has to be treated like a chatas. Lemenida chatasi. So there's another raya. Ravaka by Yaakov Amar Asim Yisrael Mishtaleach. Once again, for those late comers, we're looking here for a riot that the Torah allows us to be so much on a road to make statistical predictions rather than to make a statistical analysis. In other words, one is called the latter. An analysis is called a ruba de itakaman, where we have now a clear definition of this or that in front of us. Let's say Tesha Chanuyot are selling basar kosher, one store is selling basar trefa, we find a piece of meat that was taken for one of these stores. There we understand that we can rely on the rove because it says Akrei Rabbi and Ma'adot, we're not making predictions. But where we don't have such clearly defined groups, and now we want to talk about a particular thing and determine what this thing will be, where we don't have something in front of us, such as, is a particular male sterile or fertile, which is the classic case of a Kotnik Tana, or such as, is a particular animal a treifa, whether it's in terms of bringing it as a carbon oila, as an egla rufa, paradum, as so far as the cases that we've spoken about. There we're looking for a source. We can learn it out from the din of the Sar Mishtaleach. Now the Torah says, well, akak et shnei ha-se'irim, shiyu shneihem shavim. Now both of these se'irim, both the Sar Mishtaleach and the Sayir LaHashem are the same in their din. Now why don't we have to be afraid? Maybe the Sayer, okay, the one that was brought Lashem, you've already given me ways in which I can check it, because I can use a laser to cut through the bone of the head and so on. But what about the one that I'm going to throw Lazazel? How am I going to check that one? Now, you'll ask me, if that one ends up being trefa, who the heck cares? Because it doesn't say that it's supposed to be a carbon, does it? I mean, maybe only lechatchila, they have to both be suitable. But if, in the end, that one turns out to be trefa, who cares? No. Because then I go out, kovei ala azazel, ala b'davar aroi l'shem. The Sayer Mishtaleach only has a din of a Sayer Mishtaleach if the goral was kovei as a Sayer Mishtaleach. The problem is that the goral won't work if it wasn't suitable for the Sar Lashem. Then we're not talking about a goral anymore. Correct? So if we don't have a goral telling us it's the Sayer Lazazel, it won't be kosher anyway. So we've got a problem. Now you're going to say, okay, so maybe we climb down the cliff and we check it. So we have to go and check the Sayer Lazazel to see now in a post-mortem whether it was a treifa. This thing was rather badly manhandled. And it's in pieces, basically. Now, how are you going to check it? I mean, it's busted up. I mean, obviously, it's full of all kinds of tears and rips and so on. I mean, there's no way to know whether it was a trefa. Must be that we rely on Aruba de Leta Kama. Rav Mori says, I got a classic. Somebody beats his father. Okay? He says, Matea Vivimo. The Torah says, kill him. Now, how the heck does he know it's his father? We're going to kill this guy. On what basis?
DNA.
But if you don't have a DNA test, how can we possibly kill a person on the assumption that somebody is his father? The only way you can assume that someone is someone's father is by following a rov. And we're going to say, rov bi'ilot achar habaal. Most women end up being impregnated by their husbands. Okay, but that's the only reason for us to assume that someone is somebody's son. So if the Torah says to kill a person who attacks his father, it must be that he can rely on the fact that rov bi'ilot achar habaal, which is certainly not a ruba, the ite kama. We don't have any well-defined groups of bi'ilos over here. Says the Gemara, how do you know? Maybe it's talking about that this man and woman were locked up without access to any other males. And that's the only time that the Torah says that you would be chayev and makavivimo. But a normal person who was born with a woman that was subject to any number of males, you wouldn't be chayev. So there's a unique case with the Torah says you're chayev. So the Gemara, no, there'd be no way to define such a case because in apotropos la'arayas. How would there be a way to make sure that the jailer didn't impregnate the woman? Or that the one in charge of the jailer didn't impregnate the woman? Or for that matter, the president, when you finally get up to the top. In other words, there's no possible way to see to it that somebody is going to be able to keep this woman away from another man. Rav Kahana Amar. Rav Kahana says, how about just from the din of murderer? How are you guess on that? The Torah says, kill someone who shoots a guy through the head, yeah? How do we know that the guy that he shot wasn't a traitor, in which case you won't be fired? You're going to have to say that, well, apparently we go bus a road. So maybe you'll say, well, why don't we do a post-mortem on the victim? How can you be menavel the mate by cutting him open? You'll say, well, I mean, we don't have much of a choice, do we? Nivul. It's a disgusting thing to do to the poor victim, to cut him up. The Nechush. No, so you've got to tell the kid, thank you so much. That because of this person's, the Torah is Betzava Abedin, the Itzilu Ha'ida, find some way of saving the life of the murderer. So in order to be Mekayim that mitzvah, I have no choice but to check now with a post-mortem the victim's body to see whether perhaps there was something there that would potter the murderer. So I have no choice, so let me do a post-mortem. It won't help. Because Shem Abomokim Sayat Nekeva, how do you know that in the very place that the bullet penetrated his head, there wasn't a hole before in the membrane?
Good shot.
So there'd be no way to ever be able to really tell that the victim was not a traitor. Nonetheless, the Torah says, you're chayev. So apparently we rely on the general prediction that a random individual is not statistically likely to be a traitor. Another Ryan, Ravin Omer, Asim Adam Zonim, I got a better case. How about when the victim is still alive? That's the best answer. So Adam come along and they say, this guy is chayev Nisa. Okay, turns out that they were Adim Zalamim and they were somewhere else on the day that they claimed to have witnessed the murder. Now, the din is over there that they are Chayav Misa, even though the victim is alive. But if that victim is a Trefa, and they would not have been Chayav for shooting him, they're also not Chayav for using testimony against him. Now, how are we going to know? The Torah says, Asitem lo kasher zaman. Maybe the victim of their testimony himself is a trefer. Apparently, again, we're using the predictive element of Ruba de Leta Kaman to say that he's not a trefer. Maybe you'll say, well, why don't we cut him up? Vatanya Barevi Amr, but we know Lo Arguner Rogin. It's only if there was no result of their testimony. The court did not carry out the din against the victim. But Hargo, once the court actually killed the person that was falsely accused, then the Einim Zonin would not be chayiv in their arguing, paradoxically. And therefore, it would be a pretty bad deal to have to cut up the guy since he's alive. We don't. I'll talk about the 12-month issue in a moment. There's a few interesting subjects here that need to be discussed. Ravashi Amar, Atya Mishchita Atzma. Ravashi says we don't have to go further than what we're discussing. We're discussing Shchita. The Torah says, shech something and eat it, right? So Shchot V'Ochel, how can you ever know whether it was a trefa? I mean, after all, you have to cut through the simonim in order to do a Shchita. But how do you know that in the place that you cut, the animal wasn't a trefa and suffering from a hole, let's say, in the esophagus or something? You have to cut that esophagus. So, v'leich v'shema b'mokam nekev kashachit. How do you know that you're not checking right through the place where the trefus was? Mazvi, elo amishon nemin, ezil basarubah. Again, we can predict that an animal taken at random from the population as a whole will not be a trefa. Ravashi. So we have a number of different rayas over here, right? So we've got this raya about being able to eat meat, or about the fact that you're chayav on eidim zomim, and that you're chayav on murder, or that we have the sara mishtalayach, or that we have the egla rufa, or that we have the para aduma. It's got to be that the Torah relies on a ruba to let it come up. Says Ravashi, well, I said this whole thing over to Rav Kahana with all our beautiful rayas, and he threw a monkey wrench in it. Vaimel Rav Kahana. Some say it was Rav Kahana who actually said it over to Rav Shimi. But anyway, the Omale, I mean, you can't bring a raya from here that you can rely generally on statistics. All you can bring a raya from here is you can rely on statistics where you have no choice. But that would mean that you would have to, wherever you do have an opportunity, if you're going to shech an animal and sell it, you're going to have to take that animal apart, check every single one of the 70 or so possible trefas in it before you sell it. And the same thing would be, you have to conduct a post-mortem, and there'd be no way of killing somebody in court without conducting such a post-mortem, and so on and so forth. As whatever you can do, you have to do. Where does it say, as a matter of course, you can rely on the din of predicting roads? Because if you don't say that, it's got to be that that's true. Because what about if you hold that you have to be Chayish Lemiyuta? How about if you have a Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir says, you always got to worry about that little miut. So then how did Rabbi Meir ever eat? So how can I go to Bisra? What, means he never ate meat? Because, maybe you'll say, how can he was a vegetarian. What would he do about Pesach? What would he do about Kutcher?
Theoretically.
Yeah. What's a vegetarian going to do about that? So obviously, he's stuck with the fact that on some level, he's going to eat meat. Clearly, he's ready to accept the fact that where, indeed, you can do something about it, you do something about it. But where there's nothing to do, okay, I understand, there's nothing to do, so then I rely on it. In which case, we don't have any rye at all from any of these cases that there is a reason to rely up front l'chatzchila without doing whatever I can to avoid the suffix on a ruba to let to come on. The only way I know from the Torah is a ruba to eat to come on. In which case, the ruba to let to come on, says Rashi, must be Allah v'lamosh v'sinai. Because the Gemara is saying, okay, so you're right, we don't have any raya. Or, perhaps, says Rashi, the conclusion is that the distinction between a ruba to let to come on and a ruba to eat to come on is actually artificial. Because we can actually look at every ruba d'aleta kaman as follows. In fact, the population is theoretically split into two sets. The set of fertile males and the set of sterile males. Let's take the case of Katan Miktana, which was the opening question in the Gemara. So now, if you have a male at random, what you're really asking is, what group did this male fall out of? So why should we look at it as a statistical prediction? Let's just consider it a broadened Ruba D'Ita Kaman. And therefore, the question of the Ruben Alethic Aman was just a question that didn't really have a basis, because who's to say that's how we're using the nature of statistics? Now, there would be a very big nafkamina between these two things, you see, because where we're going to use a Ruben Alethic Aman, we're going to use it to define the reality, because that's how Ruben Alethic Aman, if there is such a thing, the way the Gemara originally says, is essentially saying that the predictive value of nature tells us the way things are. And I have a right to assume that that's the way it is. Now, in that case, we have the right to assume that that's the way it is. Okay, so then that would mean that for all intents and purposes, we're dealing with a vadai over here. In other words, if they're, let's say, the child of a particular father, such as you, me, or anybody else, would have a right to assume that they are not mamzer because of Ruben Alethic Aman. If it's only because of a Ruben Alethic Aman, although you have a right to such an assumption, it's only based on rov. If it's based on rov, there's still a quality of suffix about it. You have to, which makes tremendous nafkaminas in various areas where a suffix would still be osir. It's not as if you know for a fact that this is the reality. Okay, and it's interesting, I mean, there's a whole discussion by Rav Shimon Shkof, of course, about the nature of rovs, one of his big things, the difference between Ruben Alethic Aman and Ruben Alethic Aman in this, and he brings a number of places in which that will be a major distinction. Is something a vadai or is something a suffix, which you're allowed to proceed, despite the fact that it's a suffix, you're allowed to proceed on that basis. So, I mean, the same thing would be true about the kahuna. I mean, how would anybody know they're a kohen? Why would we assume that we could use someone where there's a suffix? You know, mamzer, the Torah says specifically, okay, suffix mamzer is not considered to be a mamzer. So he's still considered to be Kal Hashem. But how about to be a Kohen, to do Avoda? I mean, how do you know who your father is? How do you know your father was a Kohen? If it's only a Ruba, the Itak Aman, so then you're still a suffix Kohen, that's being passed on the basis of Rov. There's not Kaminas in terms of that. One of the questions that Barnea raised is a fascinating issue which Tosfos raises and comes to a conclusion that has to do with all Sveikas. Barnea asked, how about the fact that we could wait 12 months and find out, because a trefa, if you hold the Sitsa Machlokas, if you hold trefa and Achaya, then 12 months later, if the animal is alive, we can assume that back at the particular time, it was not a treif. Now, obviously, that won't help us to wait 12 months after we check the Parah Adumah to find out whether it was a treifa, and waiting 12 months from this point won't help us, because maybe it's a treifa now. I mean, it doesn't prove anything about its current status. The way that he asked the question was a little strange. But the question is this. Once we know that an animal was 12 months old, we must know that at some point in its life it wasn't a treifa. In which case, it has a chazaka. So maybe the reason that we're relying on its being kosher, we're bringing it as an ola or eating it as on, it's not because of rov. Maybe it's nothing to do with rov. Maybe it's because it's a chazaka that's not a treifa. It's been proven to be not a treifa by the very fact that it survived 12 months. That's a fantastic question. The Gemara all along is making an assumption that the animal actually could only be eaten on the basis of rov, or could only be a saramish tolev on the basis of rov. How do you know it's not chazak? Tosfos used this issue in a very serious problem that came up about French cheese, which of course was close to their family in Israel. Because his yesod, and it comes out of the sugya, is that a chazaka that was never defined is not a chazaka. There's no point at which this animal was known not to be a treifa. There's only a point at which you now say, well, now I know retroactively that at a particular point it was a treifa. But the meaning of a chazaka always is, as it is now, continue to act with it in the future. But never is there a concept of a chazaka that was never defined as it is now.
Wouldn't that be after 12 months automatically?
No. That's as it is then. You have no idea what it is now. And as it is then is not a chazaka. Right? Brilliant. The nature of chazaka itself is mechayev a present that reacts to the chazaka, not a future which is attempting to determine the way something was before. Okay, and therefore he says he's got a beautiful psak over here. You may, yeah, it says atzmi paraduna. He says therefore halacha l'maisa. Somebody makes cheese, and he's got a lot of animals that he made the cheese from. One of these animals is shechted and turns out to be a trefa. So now, you would say, okay, but we have a chazaka at that point that the animal was kosher, because after all, it had lived up until that time, right? Just this is wrong. You'd have to say that all the cheese was trefa. Because there's no way to know that there's a chazaka on the para to say that at the time it was probably kosher. Because at one time it was kosher. And it was nitrafa later on. So therefore you've got a problem because you don't have any chazaka at that time.
Well, isn't part of this question asking 12 months in the future? He's saying as it is right now, but waiting 12 months to find out if it is as it is now. Doesn't that
sort of that particular case of the is, as we'll see later on, is a different situation because by Adam, it doesn't really work the same way. Tosfos says Adam Yisleimat has different halachas, but as far as its application to the entire daf, this is essentially what Tosfos is raising. In any event, of course, this raises the other question about milk. How do you drink milk?
Maybe it's from a
trefa
cow.
You walk over to a cow, you milk the cow. I mean, what's the Gemara say? Maybe the cow is a trefa. So how can you drink the milk from that cow? And since it's alive, there's no way to check the cow. So again, you could have tied it up. Maybe you can only drink the milk of a cow after it's 12
MRI.
12 months old. Right? But then according to Tosin, that's not going to be usable. But it's worse than that. It's worse than that when you've got a mixture of milk. Let's say we rely on Ruba to eat to come on. Ruba to let to come on. We find out a cow is not a trefa. But how about where you have a group of cows? Now, the Ruba to let to come on predicts that one out of, in Israel it's one out of 3%, and it's 3%, it's 3 out of 100. In Europe it's as much as 40%. When it trefas, if it's agalot, it's 50% or more in some places. So it's pretty bad news. So there you've definitely got a mixture of trefa. Shouldn't you say you have a vada mixture of trefa milk in the non-trefa milk, in any tnuva of that, right? And it's certainly more than 1 out of 60. So you have vada trefas that isn't bottle. So it should definitely be also to buy milk. So we have now a wonderful addition to the Chumra of the Month Club. The way to use this is to go to Tnuva and tell them, look, we're gonna publish this unless you pay us. Then we're set. We can pay the rent here forever.
So how do we drink milk in
my house? Oh, you see? We should let Rabbi Charles go out there and offer milk to the world. He's already asking for vaccines. What about the milk?
That's
not
exactly.
What's that?
Between trace milk and mad cows.
Right. You're right. Stick with the vegetables.
Yeah. And then what
are we doing? Oh, that's a problem. Anyway, the correct analysis of that, and this again, this comes down to the Rav Shimon distinction between a Ruba to come and a Ruba to let come out. But before, the correct understanding of that is that the first question that you have is at the point of milking: is this milk kosher? Is this cow trefa or not? The Ruben Aletha Kaman already tells us that this cow is not a trefa. You can't go ahead now and say, halakhically, we should use the statistics of the road over here to talk about the aggregate number of cows that are mixed in this fat. Since all of those cows are kosher, they can't now become trefa. So the milk ad that's milked is kosher milk. We don't have any kashash on it. We don't use a Ruben Aletha Kaman to say, but Midwest, we know there's a certain percentage of non-kosher cows, therefore we should have this problem.
It's a plan brought by problem.
Yeah. But anyway, certainly it gives you a lot of material to think about.
But it's been forgotten. Right.
Forgot about that. So there is a shayla that should be not kosher. What do we do?